At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of Messi & Co., where we will be previewing the much-anticipated second leg of the CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinal, Inter-Miami versus Monterrey. And I'm joined, as always, by my sensational co-host, Gian, who very nicely took the reins for the preview last Friday against Colorado. But I am back now, and we have a very, very exciting episode and lots to talk about. How are you, Gian?
Good, good. You're going to make me blush. Last time you said I was amazing. Now you say I'm sensational.
I know. I'm going to keep giving new ones.
No, I'm excited. What comes next week? My goodness. But yeah, I'm excited, and I'm happy you're back. Obviously, I mentioned in our pregame that, you know, you were not available, but that you were going to be back soon, and glad to have you back as well. And yeah, we're excited to talk about a really important game, the most important game in Inter-Miami history, and really just talk about like what we can expect, some of the drama that has been kind of preceding this game, and then talk about what we can expect, at least from like a strategy perspective, give our formations, give all our predictions, but just, I think, an exciting episode in front of us right now. So excited to start talking about it.
Oh, no, it's really exciting. Yeah, I was sick on Friday, unfortunately, but you held down the fort as always and did a great job. Wow, we have so much to talk about, but where I think we should start is with the namesake of the show and the name on everybody's lips, which is recapping the return of the one and only Lionel Messi back from injury after almost a month, I think, or maybe even a little over a month, with his hamstring sidelined for 3 MLS games. Obviously, it had to come out in during the beginning of the first half, the second half against Nashville when we were in the round of 16. But he finally made his much anticipated return, playing the whole second half of the game Saturday, where it was a 2-2 draw against Colorado Rapids. And obviously, we were a little disappointed that it was a draw. I think that, you know, Inter Miami have had some tough luck as it comes to injuries and, you know, being able to make maybe the right substitutions, but injuries have kind of derailed that. But on a more positive note, Messi looked back and better than ever, and I must say he gave us a little bit of everything. We were joking around because usually Gian and I break up who's doing the live tweeting for each half of the game when we're there, and Gian tweeted the first half, which was obviously kind of quiet, nothing crazy happened. Colorado scored in the end of the half, but the second half when I was tweeting it, basically everything happened, and we saw 2 goals. We saw, you know, a Messi goal. We saw him creating a chance. We saw him slide tackle defensively, do basically everything. And it was a pretty fun game to watch, wouldn't you say?
I thought it was very fun to watch. It was nice to see, I think, that lineup at the beginning, even though, like, as you said, it was a bit slower on the news side of it and the plays and that sort of thing. But I thought it was pretty cool to see some other guys get chances. I think that Tata Martino did a really good job, at least of, you know, until what happened at the end, where he was able to kind of rest a majority of the players and then still bring in guys like Busquets and Messi and have them gain minutes so that to make sure that they're going into Wednesday night with rhythm. And it just kind of stinks because I think the conversation would have been a lot different had we not had that mental breakdown at the end to not just put the ball or the game away with 3 minutes left and, you know, push up high, have all the players on the other side of the field on a strong attack, leaving nobody behind and having that counter, kind of just messed that whole game up and what the conversation, the conversations that would have been had after, because that would have been a masterpiece. You know, rest your players, come out with a win. Messi's ready to roll Wednesday. But what we saw from Messi, at least for the positive side, is that he hasn't missed a beat. He went into that game, went right in there, scored a goal, was part of multiple plays. Basically, it seems like almost part of every play. We saw that he looked good physically, running a lot, even going back on defense and slide tackling. That was really cool to see. You don't typically see that from Messi. So, yeah, if you were worried about Messi being in shape and ready for Wednesday, that is no longer anything that you have to worry about after what we saw this weekend from Messi. He is ready, set to go, and I think that we're going to see a monster game from him.
Yeah, agreed. That was certainly the silver lining, is he looked really good. I would say that maybe the not-so-good parts of the game was that we, again, had a couple injuries. Leo Campana went down with an injury, a muscle injury, towards the end of the second or the first half, and it's a shame because, you know, he's definitely been deserving of minutes, hadn't had many opportunities, and when he finally did have an opportunity, he hurt himself. And then in the second half, Leo Alfonso, who scored a goal, got his debut senior goal. The young Brazilian, who's been really, really great, had a bit of a muscle injury with his hamstring. I think he's okay, though. He was walking on the field normally after. He did interviews and everything. So I think he may be able to play Wednesday. I'm not 100% sure, but I think if he had not felt an injury, he would not have come out. I think Negri would have came out, who played very, very well, but by the end of the game was tired. And, you know, maybe our defensive structure would have looked a little different. Maybe they wouldn't have gotten that counterattack goals. Lots of woulda, coulda, shoulda's, but...
Well, just that you mentioned Negri, I think that's also a positive going into Wednesday night, is that you've got depth also, should anything, you know, should there be any injuries, or maybe just...
or if you need Jordi Alba to push ahead,
Manage the strategy and adapt to the game. You've got pieces there, and man, Negri hasn't missed a beat either. He's a guy that has been... He just came back from injury, and he played amazing. I was really happy from what we got from him.
Agreed. 100% agree. And, you know, we're obviously, like we said, in a little going to get into the on the field, what we expect prediction wise. But there's some off the field drama and conversation that we need to talk about that I think is going to make a pretty big difference in the game and in the emotions and the overall kind of situation this team sees itself in. And I'm going to let you take the lead on this, Gian, because you have been, you know, firsthand seeing a lot of reports. We obviously heard right after the game that there was a bit of an interaction in the dressing room with the head coach and with the assistant coaches and Messi after some unsavory comments. We talked about it a little bit before, but there's more to say. More has happened.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of stuff coming from Monterrey. Even before the first minute of the game was even played in the first leg here in Miami, there was already a lot of talk coming out of that side. And it seems like they're trying to gain some sort of a competitive advantage outside of the field, with kind of getting into the mental state of the referees and in CONCACAF, and already planting these ideas that there could be outside things that influence the game and not just the playing on the field. Yeah. So that's kind of not something you want to see. I think it's just a lot of mental games. Coach Tano Ortiz from Monterrey, again, before the game was even played, sat down in an interview and started talking about how he had the superior team over Inter Miami, and that basically one of the ways that he could see where they might lose or might see some adversity would be because Messi tends to see a favorable whistle in his perspective. And he said that he realizes that CONCACAF and MLS is a business, and then that could very much influence the game going into Miami. And that's something that didn't sit well with Messi at all. And we tend to maybe sometimes wonder, are guys like Messi, Suarez, Tata Martino, are they getting wind of these things? And the answer is yes, they do get it. They might not be on social media all the time, but people talk. They have their inner circles. People will deliver those messages and let them know. And we know that, again, Messi did get wind of this. And when the game finished on Wednesday, Messi went onto the field. He had some words for the referees. He had some words for Tano Ortiz, the coach from Monterrey. And things got a little bit heated there. Apparently also, and I'm going to say this more on a level of this is reportedly what happened. We don't know. Yeah, sometimes things get over-dramatized.
Yeah.
But it said that supposedly Jordi Alba grabbed the president of Monterrey in one of those scuffles by the back of the neck.
Yeah. Which seems hard to believe.
And then you have it's all over the Mexican outlets, especially mm-hmm. the ones that are very much in favor of Monterrey, where they're just over expanding this and trying to make it the biggest deal. That's all they talk about. Then another interesting thing came out. Nico Sanchez, the assistant coach of Monterrey, there was an audio leaked by him, which was funny because he said he later came out with a apology video saying that he didn't know it was going to be leaked. He said that it was only for his inner circle. Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah, sure. Right. Yeah. You didn't expect that to be leaked. Okay.
Yeah.
So in this audio message, he goes on to describe a scene where after the game, he goes into the areas between the dressing rooms and apparently they're very close to each other. He sees Messi come in after the game. He notices that Messi is heated, very heated, but he goes and tries to approach to ask for a photo with Messi, which at that point, the famous bodyguard of Messi intervenes in that and kind of stops him from doing that. But he notices that Messi is super pissed. In his own words, he says, this dwarf looks like he has a demon inside him. He has the face of a devil. Like, he was being adamant about how crazy and angry Messi looked.
Yeah.
And he says that Messi went and approached the referees again inside the dressing room. So when Nico Sanchez sees this, he then, it looks like sarcastically or on purpose to be heard, he says to the CONCACAF officials that are in the area or immediate vicinity, he says, if that was us doing the same thing that Messi was doing, you guys would have sent us to hell. You guys would have kicked us out. At that point, Messi hears that, and Messi apparently turns around, goes and gets in his face, puts a fist next to his head and tells him a bunch of stuff, just starts to tell him off completely in Nico Sanchez's words. Nico Sanchez says, I don't pay attention to him. I pretend he's not even there. And at that point, it seems like to make things worse. And then Tata Martino enters the picture and gets in his face and apparently tells him to stop crying. So there's just a whole bunch of drama.
Yeah, a lot of layers.
As if this game wasn't, you know, crazy enough. Now we've got all this backstory to it. And it seems like we have an angry Messi. And that's something that's going to favor us here in Miami, is to have an angry Messi. Because
you and I had this conversation before.
And then maybe you want to explain it. Messi's not the typical player where when he gets angry, he might go and it might mess with his team. He'll get a yellow card, that sort of thing. What,
no.
You want to explain what happens with Messi when he gets mad?
Yeah. So, I mean, to your point, you know, I think that Messi is incredibly patient. And throughout his career, he's had to deal with a lot of, you know, very high expectations. Of course, media is sometimes tough on him, especially earlier on in his career, especially internationally, you know, when he hadn't won for Argentina yet. And on the field, always players nipping at him, you know, pushing their luck to try and stop him because, you know, he's the best to ever play. But I think what we've learned with Messi is that the one main thing that you really, really cannot try and use against him that makes him really angry is his integrity. His integrity within the game, his integrity when he plays, trying to say that he cheats or tries to use advantages is just not him. It's just not. And the reason he's the greatest to ever play is because he's done it through his hard work, his play, his gift, etc. And this made him very angry. And that's why he exploded. And I think he, you know, was upset that, you know, the team and him decided he shouldn't play the first leg. I'm sure he really wanted to, but they were looking at the long-term game. And maybe, you know, also I think they were expecting or hoping to keep this within a one-goal game where it was either a tie, maybe a 2-1 or something like that. Obviously, the last goal was a human error where it was, you know, David Ruiz gave the ball – or not David Ruiz, sorry, Diego Gomez gave the ball up right in a very precarious area that led to that third goal. But
the second goal was a mistake too.
Exactly. And so maybe, you know, there obviously we still have hope, but I think they were hoping the game was going to be a little bit closer when it came to this part and Messi would be able to come in and make, you know, do something crazy. He still will, by the way. I still have a lot of faith. But to your point, what happens when you make Messi angry? No, he doesn't retaliate with fouls and with yellow cards and with frustration and kicking the ball away or trying to get into the opponent's ear. No. He beats you by scoring and by winning and by making you look like a fool. Yeah. You know, and so we saw it in the infamous, very infamous / famous game, the quarterfinals of the World Cup, Netherlands versus Argentina. Louis van Gaal, very famous head coach, said some unsavory things about Messi. And Messi waited and waited, and then he retaliated on the field by playing an almost perfect game of soccer. And obviously there were some things outside of their control. They ended 3-3, had to go to penalties. They won the penalties. Who knows what would have happened any other day, but Messi played out of this, like, on a different planet in that game. And he's going to do the same thing again Wednesday. Is it going to be enough? That's still, like, you know, remains to be seen. Obviously, we're playing at a 2-goal disadvantage. It's going to be an incredibly difficult environment. We are dealing with other injuries. Whoever the starting 11 are going to be is most likely
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At least 9 or 10 of them are going to have to play the whole game, and so it's going to be really difficult. But I don't bet against Messi when he's completely normal. I don't bet against Messi when he's coming back from injury. And I certainly do not bet against Messi when he's angry and healthy. So all those things combined, it's going to be quite the game.
Hey, look, I'm not to compare Inter Miami to prime Barcelona, but, you know, this isn't the first time that Messi and Suarez deal or go into a scenario like this where they're facing an elimination game.
Imagine going to the Bernabeu, you know.
And having to make sure that they put the team on their shoulders and to come up with a favorable goal line. We can go back to the Champions League where they were losing 4-0 to PSG.
Yeah.
And then they go into the second leg and they come back and win 6-1. Both Suarez and Messi happen to score in that game. So,
yeah.
You know,
how about when they played at Wembley in the Champions League final against Man United and Sir Alex Ferguson? Like, talk about tough odds.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is not something new to Messi, something new to Suarez, Busquets, Alba. This is a scenario that they've very much been in, and this is why you bring in players like them. Yeah, they're skillful, but they also bring something that some of the other younger skillful players don't have, and it's called experience. They've been in this scenario. They've been in these hostile environments. They've had to deal with drama before, and they've had to put the team on their shoulder and come up with results. And I think that, especially after what I saw this past game against Inter Miami, showed that they're a lot stronger team that people gave them credit for.
Yeah.
People were saying that Monterrey is one of the strongest teams in CONCACAF and that they were going to come in and put on a show in Miami.
But they looked pedestrian, and that was without Messi.
Inter Miami was winning 1-0 with no Messi, experimenting some positions there. Yeah. And then they go into the second half and, they gave possession up to Monterrey, and Monterrey wasn't coming up with a lot of dangerous plays. They were doing very well on defense, doing well in the midfield. And then they go into the second half, and the only reason Monterrey is able to come and win the game is after they scored their first goal 3 or 4 minutes after
the root red card.
Going down 10 men.
Yeah.
And then that first goal ends up being a mistake where Busquets doesn't see a ball off of a set piece. He doesn't see it because I forgot what two players jump in front of him. It ends up hitting his head and an unfortunate deflection off of Callander. So that's not necessarily a goal that I would say, wow, you know, Monterrey put together a great play. Now, the second goal was a great shot. We can't take that away from them, but it also stemmed from a broken play, from a missed touched ball by Gomez. So when I look at those things, and
was
I look
at 3-1, I meant 2-1. I don't know why. I feel like I kept saying the score was 3-1. I meant 2-1.
No, they won 2-1. When we look at that, and we going into Wednesday night, and again, just going back to the previous point of you've got Busquets, Alba, Suarez, and Messi going in with experience and putting the team on the shoulders. This is a very much winnable game for me, in my eyes.
Agreed. And I think that it's going to be difficult, but I agree with you that it's going to be a winnable game. I think we're going to have minus one or two pieces, a very, very strong lineup. I worry, again, my worry is maybe the 70th to 90th minute when we see some tired legs and Tata's not going to have as many options to substitute. But we're going to see a pretty strong lineup. I mean, back four, we can start kind of talking about it. Obviously, you know, Chelo got to rest. Alba got to rest. Aviles played 60 minutes and he didn't even play center back. Freire got to rest, etc. So we're going to see, I think, our strongest back four, which is going to be Chelo, Freire, Aviles, and Alba. Front three, we're starting to I'll say this. The front six is where I think it's going to be four of the best players. The other two, I'm curious what Tata's going to do, because obviously we're going to see Busquets, we're going to see Suarez, we're going to see Messi, we're going to see Gomez. The other two, whether it's, you know, whether if Gomez goes up top and he puts in two different midfielders, or if Gomez is a different midfielder and he does a different left winger, because obviously Robert Taylor is not going to be available, Campana is not going to be available, Alfonso, I think we have to wait and see. And even so, I think starting him in this game is asking a lot from him. So I don't know. What do you think the front six is going to look like?
I think in the midfield is going to be Gomez, Busquets, and Gressel. And yeah. I think up front is going to be Suarez, Messi, and Alfonso. I think that
worried Alfonso, I don't know if he's healthy enough.
Well, obviously it would have to depend on that. We know that Taylor isn't. And
I would say this, if he's not healthy, if he's not healthy, I think maybe option two is Gomez as the left wing. And then you do Busquets, Gressel, and Kramaski. Because Kramaski has played 90 minutes.
I actually forgot Kramaski was available.
Yeah, the best way to start him and get him back into action. I mean, that's a very difficult environment to come in after missing a few months. He's obviously played the last two IMCF two. You know, the younger team, he's played in the last two games. He's played the full amount. He's played good. But it's asking a lot of him. I would say, though, if Alfonso is not able to start, I think you will see Gomez as the left wing potentially and Kremaski starting in the midfield maybe. Or you see Messi on the left and you see Gressel in the right wing and then someone else in midfield. Like, it can't be Ruiz.
I think that if Kremaski is ready for minutes in the Champions Cup quarterfinal, I think he'll get the start. Yeah. I think they'll figure out a way, whether it's a 4-4-2 or 4-3-3, they'll figure out a way. I think if Kremaski if they're not ready to get Kremaski minutes in this game, then to me, and Alfonso is healthy, I think Alfonso is a more natural fit.
Yeah, agreed.
In there. And then that gives you the opportunity to, if you're able to get a good result early on, then you can always take Alfonso out and you can put in Negri. That gives you added, like, you can mess around there. But I think that what you said, those that list of players, those are like the for sures, the key players. Those guys are 100%. The question is, again, what goes on that left side? Does it become a 4-3-3 or does it become a 4-4-2 because he doesn't want to put Alfonso if he's not healthy as a winger on the left side?
He might not want
to expose himself so much, right? Too.
I could see this. Look, if Alfonso's not healthy and they're worried about starting Kremaski, they want to bring him in the 60th minute. It could be a 4-4-2. It could be Negri at left back, and then above him, Alba, Alba Busquets. Why am I blanking? Alba Busquets, Gomez, and Gressel as your mid four, and then Suarez and Messi on top.
It could. I honestly, the more
I could see that. I really could see that.
Yeah, the more I talk about it, or the more we talk about it, I can see a 4-4-2, because if you really think about it, this team kind of really does operate sometimes in a 4-4-2 where Messi and Suarez are alone up top, and then given the fact that you need to go out and look to score in this game, you need to be more aggressive. But do you want to lend yourself to having three really offensive players up top, and then opening up yourself more to a counter, or to, like, I think that a 4-4-2 is a good medium between that, where you can still remain very offensive but take care of that midfield. So I can see a 4-4-2.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're on the right track, though. I think, like you said, it depends on Alfonso's health, and it depends on if Kramaski is fit to start. Those two factors, I think, will very much dictate if neither of them can start. I think we're going to see the 4-4-2, where you're going to see Negri and Alba.
We're definitely not seeing Borgelin on the wing again.
No, I hope not. And, you know, I said this to you during the game, too, because it really was not his fault. He was put in a position that does not 100%. Belong to him. But I thought in the second half, when obviously there was no Campana, and when they really didn't want to play Suarez, I thought he did really good hold-up play. I thought every time they hit a long ball to him, he was able to, with his back to the defender, he got the ball, he stopped it, he made the right pass, or he got fouled. I was very impressed with how he played. I don't think he's a week in, week out starter, but I think for what he was asked to do, he did a good job. But I think now that we've kind of talked a little bit about what the lineups look like, what, you know, what the environment's going to be, I think it's time we give our predictions. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be a really, really difficult game to predict. And we also, by the way, even though it's late, it's going to be 10:30 Eastern time is the start time. We're Eastern time. We're going to still do a post-game live stream. So, you know, make sure you have your notifications on. We'll be live on YouTube. We'll be live on Twitter, Facebook. As soon as the final whistle blows, probably it'll start at like 12:30 a.m. It's, you know, it'll be a late night, but hopefully a really exciting one. Gian, we know the emotions behind it. We know we're going to see, obviously, some of the best we have. We're going to see Messi on a mission, but we're going to be playing in, obviously, in Monterrey Stadium in front of a sold-out Monterrey crowd. They have 2-1 advantage. It's going to be a really, really difficult game. How do you see it going?
I'm going to tell you what I want to say. I'm going to tell you what I think it's going to be. I want to say 2-0. 2-0. Obviously, we move on with the 2-0. And the reason I'm saying 2-0 is because they didn't convince me in Miami. Those two goals that they scored were off two errors that I think Inter Miami are going to make sure that they clean up. And I don't think that they're going to have those opportunities again. The only reason I'm hesitant on the 2-0 is because they're playing at home. Yeah. So I think they'll at least score one because they're at home. So with that, if they score one, Inter Miami have to score three to pass.
No, so I thought if it's 2-1, don't they go to extra time? Because then it'll be the same.
Yeah.
Oh, but they would need to score three or go to penalties, right?
Yeah. So I think Inter Miami scores three. And I think because Monterrey is at home, they'll get at least that one goal there. So I think it'll be 3-1. And I think Messi's going to score. I think Suarez is going to score. I think Messi's going to score twice. And I think Suarez is going to score one. I think it'll be 3-1. I'm confident. I'm honestly not. I know that seems like a lot, saying that Inter Miami is going to score three in Monterrey in a stadium with over 50,000 people and all that. But I just because I've seen, and I'm sure you have, just as a European soccer fan and watching Champions League, we've seen Messi and Suarez do this before.
Yeah.
If they've done it in Europe, if they've done it against PSG in Champions League, I think they can do it against Monterrey in Champions Cup. And I think that this team is going to surprise and shock a lot of people in CONCACAF, and we're going to move on. I'm excited.
Well, I hope we get a little bit more of a favorable whistle, because I think we got like no calls in the last game. And obviously, could that have been gamesmanship? Could that have been you know, what Monterrey wanted. Maybe I don't think it's going to be like unfair advantage to us, but I'm hoping we get a little bit more leeway, because it just felt like we weren't getting any calls, and without Messi, it's hard enough as it is. So hopefully we have a little bit more of a better game flow. But I think, you know, you make good points. I'm going to say 2-0 because I feel like it's more likely for us to score two goals than three. And, you know, I'm hoping because of that we can do a shutout. I feel like 2-1 is probably is what if I were a betting man, woman, I would say it's going to be 2-1 and I would say it's going to go to extra time. And then I say it would go to penalties and that makes my heart hurt already.
My eyes tired
because that means we'll be screaming until like 3 a.m. So I'm going to
take a baby aspirin if that's going to happen before. Yeah. I need my heart to be in good condition for that.
But I think we can both agree on and what we're hoping to see more than anything. Look, I want us to make it through. I think we've had a tough break the last few weeks. We really have. I know it's easy to be like, what do you mean? You have Messi, Suarez. Like, how could you ever complain? We've had a really tough break with injuries. We've had a tough schedule. You know, this team deserves, I think, to have a really good performance and to show out. And hopefully it works to our advantage. I know we'll be watching. You know, our eyes will be glued. It'll be really intense, really exciting. Everything you want from a good soccer game. Everything, you know, that this team was promised. And so we're excited. I think, you know, let us know in the comments or tweet us about what you think the what your score prediction is going to be. And, you know, if you think we're going to get a mad Messi or, you know, an emotional team. But maybe for the better, you know, good emotions that causes everyone to really kind of like put their best out there. We will be live tweeting. We will be doing post game. Make sure you're following us at Messi & Co. Make sure you're following us on YouTube, 5 Reasons Sports. I'm excited. Any final words, Gian?
No, just as excited as you. And I'm really hoping that Thursday is a day to celebrate and that there's a lot of good stuff for us ahead. And like we said, this is the most important game in Miami history. This is what they brought Messi and company for these types of games, for these types of moments. And you all are about to live a quarterfinal in Mexico for Champions Cup with Messi, Suarez, some of the best players to ever play the game. And you can't ask anymore. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best, and you've got to
be in the tough games.
You got to be in the tough games and come out on top. So this is where you want to be, and I'll see you on the other side. Basically,
I'll see you on the other side. So for this episode and preview for Messi & Co, I'm Ashley. That is Gian. Make sure you comment, like, and subscribe. Let us know what you think. We'll talk to you soon. Vamos Inter Miami.
Vamos.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.